The House will come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman, Backlund, Barnhart, Bates, Beck, Beyer, Ellen Brown, Ralph Brown, Butler, Carlson, Close Devlin, Dingfelder, Doyle Gardner, Gerard, Hansen, Hass, Hayden, Hobson, Jensen, Johnson, Kafori, King Canope Krieger, Krupp Crummel, Cruz, Lee, Leonard Lowe, March, Merkley, Minnis Montes Anderson, Morgan Nelson Nolan, Patridge Ringo, Rosenbaum, Schrader Shetterly, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Tootie Smith, Starr, Tomei, Verger, Cheryl Walker, Vicky Walker Westland, Williams, Wilson, Winters Worth Witt, Zahner, and Mr. Speaker, not answering, Devlin, Canope, Krupp, Minnis, Nolan, Patridge, Schrader, Vicky Walker, Winters, Worth.
The flag salute today will be led by Representative Witt.
flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony today will be a moment of silence. Courtesies. Seeing none. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you the Senate has adopted SCR 18.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
HCR 25, adjourning signee die for special session of the 71st Legislative Assembly. SCR 18, adjourning signee die for special session of the 71st Legislative Assembly.
Resolutions read first time are referred to the Special Session Committee. Standing Committee reports. Special Session Committee reports. Propositions and motions. Colleagues, today I have just a brief announcement and we start debate. In discussion on the floor, there's a cherished tradition here in the House of not referring to another member or members by name. This tradition is reflected in our House rules under Section 6.10. In speaking on the floor, a member must confine discussion to the question under debate, avoid personalities, and not impugn the motives of another member's vote or argument. In addition, Mason's Manual of Legislative Procedure, Section 124, states that it is not the person but the measure that is the subject of debate, and it is not allowable to arraign the motives of a member or group of members, but the nature or consequences of a measure may be condemned in strong terms. As presiding officer, and in compliance with House Rule 7.10 and Mason's Manual of Legislative Procedure, Section 575, Section 1, I will preserve the order and decorum of this body and restrain members who engage in debate that is outside the rules of order. I remind you, it is not the person or group of persons, but the measure that is the subject of debate. In compliance with Mason's Manual, Section 714, when consideration of a question regularly on the calendar is interrupted by adjournment, it comes up in its proper place on the daily calendar. Representative Shetterly, would you please renew your motion on vetoed Senate Bill 1022?
Mr. Speaker, I move that Senate Bill 1022 be repassed, notwithstanding the governor's veto.
Representative Leonard, you're in the privilege queue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Point of order under your previous reading of the rules.
State your point.
Does your admonition to the members apply to references to the governor as well?
It has been the tradition of the House and debate on the floor of this House that reference to the executive or the other House has been allowed. However, the subject of today's debate is on the measures only and not the actions of those bodies or individuals.
Thank you.
Representative Shetterly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know about anyone else in this chamber, but I appreciated having a few days over the weekend to rest and reflect. I spent some time the weekend with my family in Ashland, taking in some
plays. Excuse me, just a moment. The previous question was moved and debate was closed. Therefore, no debate is open upon the question. Representative Shetterly, do you wish to close?
Well, I guess I've already let that cat out of the bag.
Yes, you have. Please proceed.
Where was I? Oh, Ashland, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, actually, no. The play that I saw, it was a great production, by the way, was As You Like It. And in that play, of course, we leave the dark world and enter Shakespeare's Forest of Arden, where we find music and romance and wit and philosophy and all manners of love. And I read the director's notes, and as I read the director's notes, I thought she had written them to me personally, because her notes on the production said, "But we know that Arden is not real, and that the return to the political world will be a challenge." If only she'd known how true that felt this weekend, spending my weekend in Arden. Well, one of the things I reflected on this weekend, going over the debate, the discussion that we heard on Senate Bill 1022 and the motion to override the veto last Friday, was the essence of the message that I heard coming from those who spoke against the override, that is, those who spoke to sustain the veto. And the essence of the message that I heard was a message we've heard before, but in a troubling context, and that message is, we've got to burn down the village to save it. That message didn't end with the session on Friday. One of our members over the weekend spoke to the Channel 2 News and said this, and I'm quoting, "Schools have to hurt for a year, and they should." And all this coming from those who tell us that they really do have schools' best interest at heart, that they are truly the friends of education. Well, colleagues, I've read the floor letters and the emails and the public statements from OSBA, from COSA, from the Confederation for the Coalition for School Funding Now, and the school board members, educators, and parents that they speak for and represent. And I can hear them asking of those who would sustain the governor's veto, with friends like these, who needs enemies? Or being something of a Shakespearean state of mind from the weekend, maybe this from Julius Caesar, "Et tu, Brute?" The representative from Northwest Portland invoked William Butler Yeats on the floor last week. I love Yeats. You may be surprised, he's one of my favorite poets. But listening to the member's recitation, it occurred to me that perhaps a more apt poem to describe the strategy of those who would sustain the governor's vetoes might be Tennyson's Charge of the Light Brigade. Charging ahead into the onslaught, heedless of the risks, brave and courageous to be sure, but doomed. And I think rather than take our direction from William Butler Yeats, we would do better to heed our own Dick Yeats and Paul Warner and the rest of our esteemed economists in the Legislative Office, Legislative Revenue Office. And what they tell us is that this economic storm in which we have been tossed about for a year now is not over yet. There will be another declining revenue forecast before we're done. Another wave over the bow. And yet some members of this chamber would rather stand on deck while the ship takes on water, refusing to get into the lifeboat that Senate Bill 1022 represents, refusing even to let the children get into the lifeboat because it's just not good enough. We can do better. Colleagues, I would like to do better than Senate Bill 1022. I would. But before you persuade me not to override the governor's veto of this bill, I want to know what that better way is. I've heard it for weeks now. We can do better, and I'm still waiting to know what is the plan and how are you going to get us there. The governor tells us that he's vetoed Senate Bill 1022 because we need new permanent revenue. But what he's offered so far is a temporary income tax increase. Temporary.
Representative Shetterly.
Yes.
Excuse me. We need to confine our remarks to the substance, not to the political ramifications of the piece of legislation before us. This is about the ship. Representative Leonard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was going to inquire about that. I wondered if your admonition earlier applied only to Democrats.
It applies to all members of this House of Representatives.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it is fair to comprehend the consequence to schools of the failure to override the governor's veto of Senate Bill 1022. What it portends is the bringing on of a risk and of a crisis that we can avoid today, that we can at least manage. Senate Bill 1022 gives schools the opportunity to continue to operate, to open with some certainty, while we conduct our business in the coming special session, frankly, because we know that's coming as well, and also in the coming regular session. Colleagues, this is not a referendum on how the legislature or the governor have performed on the subject of school funding over the past 10 years. This bill is real. It has immediate and direct consequences. Our actions today will have direct consequences on those schools that are waiting to open in 2 weeks' time. We cannot afford to overlook that real and immediate and direct impact on schools. We have a choice today. I wish I could offer you more than Senate Bill 1022. I wish I could offer you a solution for all time, but I can't. What I can offer you is a way to help give Oregon schools the certainty they need to be able to open their doors in 2 weeks, ready to welcome my kids and yours and all the public school children in Oregon for another year of school, another opportunity for us to get it right. As I said in my Friday opening remarks, we have our work cut out for us next session. We really do. But while we do our work, we must give our schools what they need to do theirs. To do otherwise would be to take a problem and transform it into a crisis. We don't need to do that. We shouldn't do it. Our kids deserve better from us. Please support the motion to override the governor's veto.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A request call of the House.
Representative Minnis requests a call of the House. She is joined by Representative Rosenbaum, Representative Hass, Representative Garrard, Representative Witt, Representative Nelson, Representative Brown, Representative Vic Backman. The doorkeeper will bar the doors, and Sergeant-at-Arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman, Backman, Barnhart, Bates, Beck, Beyer, Alan Brown, Ralph Brown, Butler, Carlson, Close, Devlin, Dingfelder, Doyle, Gardner, Garrard, Hansen, Hansen-Hass, Hayden, Hobson, Jensen, Johnson, Kafori, King, Canoak, Krieger, Krupp, Crummel, Cruz, Lee, Leonard, Lowe, March, Merkley, Minnis, Monis Anderson, Morgan, Nelson, Nolan, Patridge, Ringo, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Shetterly, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Tootie Smith, Starr, Tomei, Berger, Cheryl Walker, Vicky Walker, Westland, Williams, Wilson, Winters, Worth Witt, Sonner, and Mr. Speaker, not answering, excused, not subject to the call, Dingfelder.
All members are present. Those of the opinion that Senate Bill 1022 should be repassed, notwithstanding the governor's veto, will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Close, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Lee, how do you vote? Votes aye. The motion to repass Senate Bill 1022, notwithstanding the governor's veto, having received the required two-thirds majority, is declared adopted. On Friday, August 16th, the motion to reconsider the vote by which the House failed to override and repass vetoed House Bill 4056, carried. Vetoed House Bill 4056 was made a special order of business immediately following consideration of Senate Bill 1022. The House will proceed in consideration of the special order of business. In compliance with Mason's Manual of Legislative Procedure, Section 468, Subsection 3, the question immediately recurs on the motion to override the governor's veto on House Bill 4056. Further discussion. Representative Verger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the motion.
To the motion.
Last week, many of you spoke about your position on House Bill 4056. I saw no need to speak, as I had a voting record of opposing the cigarette tax, as well as a strong position in opposition to the bonding bill when we addressed it in June. But I need to speak today. We didn't reach this budget dilemma overnight. The Group of Five produced very good bipartisan work last year, a budget that did not include bonding a weak revenue source or a tax. And remember, as a result of the spending of the 1990s, there was no rainy day fund, no savings to rely on, no large contingencies, no carryover to assist this 2001 budget committee. And then ballot measure 13, that would have given schools $220 million, failed. And so in special session number 3, a cigarette tax referral was turned to as the only possible solution for new revenue, and the House bill did not include bonding in its original form. Now, while I can respect the sincere effort to balance the budget by some creative financing, the bonding of what I believe will be declining revenues was one policy I could not support. So now we find ourselves another day older and deeper in debt. And in desperation, we are being asked to bond tax revenues that we hope may, but may not, be approved by the voters on September the 17th. Not a day that we've reached yet. Why would I consider a vote based on uncertain future prospective revenues that no one can predict the outcome, and that I can only hope that the ship comes in? Now, I support good public policy, Republican or Democrat. No political party has a patent on good ideas or good people. This is what I said about this bill in June. Now, let me get this straight. We're taxing a product that we hope people won't buy, and we're bonding the tax. Now, at the same time, remember, we were sunsetting the tax. You don't run your family this way. And we shouldn't run the state government this way. Oregon's public is cynical. And why not? With some school administrators being given 26% raises in one budget cycle, government agencies, some of them doubling in size in less than 7 years, a declining economy in rural Oregon for over 20 years, an indifference by government to the impacts of rules and regulations on Oregon's business? Why, House Bill 4056 simply crystallizes our crisis management reluctance to address cost containment, performance standards, and different financial policies for the future. But for some reason, we all find it easier to just smolder over the debatable actions of a governor. We are a good citizen legislature, capable of great courage to act on our own, capable of demanding a tighter, leaner government, and capable of far greater bipartisan respect and tolerance for each other. I opposed House Bill 4056 before the vote, before the vetoes, and I never gave any indication to anyone that I had changed my mind. But I am willing to strongly support a plan that will better manage Oregon's taxpayers' hard-earned money that now flows into Salem. For it is only, colleagues, when the voters regain their confidence in the efficiency with which their tax dollars are now being spent, that they are going to be willing to pay more for services. Thank you, Representative. 4056, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. Don't call us, because we can't go. We owe our soul to the bondman store.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, sometimes we get so concerned and upset and frustrated about issues, we maybe don't say things properly. And after last week, I'm sure that I would be identified as one of those individuals doing just that. Especially when the senior citizens call me and say, Donna, you kept asking if anybody was listening there with your group, and what you should have been saying was, are we listening to our people? Are we listening to the kids, the teachers? As my precious granddaughter, Victory, writes, Nana, you're a teacher helping teachers and helping see that we get teached. Well, she surely needs to learn that the word should have been taught. Well, hopefully she'll have that opportunity in school this year. But not if we continue what we're now doing. Colleagues, it doesn't matter who's right. It doesn't matter who's right. It matters what's right. Are we listening to the kids, to the teachers? The only partisanship there is in education should be to the kids. We should be partisan to our children. This week I was called by one of my school board members who told me of the great and vast innovations that have come out of the University of Washington, the number of patents And here I am every day of my life pursuing jobs. We've lost 70,000 jobs. That's what we need to be focused on. And compared to Oregon and what is coming out of our schools and with our support to new technology, I find we must be doing much, much more for jobs. Now in education, consider what's been done in the last three sessions. We've gone from $4.3 billion, right, up to, as my blue ribbon says, $5.3 billion. We've cared about our kids, and they've been a priority. The leadership of this group has made education a priority. Let's don't change it now. Let's keep the priorities the priority. When our constituents and our kids ask, who can we trust? We want the answer to be our representatives. We made education a priority, just like we did help for the fragile in this session. And you've done good. You've done great. Let's keep our reputation for caring about a quality education. Remember the message? For lack of a meal, attention was lost. For lack of attention, a future was lost. Well, we're back to hunger. We must attack it, just like we need to get on business and investment. This can be the happiest day of our life. This can be the happiest day of our life in this legislature today. The happiest day for our schools, our junior colleges, for all the kids, all the teachers, if we will pass this bill. Let's make it a happy day. Let's don't be known for the lack of a vote. I'll say it again. For the lack of a vote . 40 days of school were taken away.
Representative Donner yields.
Thank you, Representative. For lack of a vote, 40 days were canceled in our school year, and we laid off 75 teachers. Instead, let's all have the courage to be the ones who can be trusted. Let's give our kids what they deserve, our best, today, and today that is our vote for overriding the governor's veto on this bill. Thank you for caring about the rest of your family.
For the discussion, Representative Merkley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
As I listen to the debate today and last week, it sounds an awful lot like this is a bill about education. But there's an important statistic that's part of this bill. That's 22%. And it's not 22% of the state that supports the veto, or 22% of the state that opposes the veto, or 22% of the members who are going to vote a particular way today. 22% is the amount of bonding in this bill that goes to education. 78% of this bill goes to general debt financing of a budget shortfall. So we have the attractive front end that everyone wants to talk about, that 22%, but we tacked onto it a very large body of general debt financing. So 22% ought to be remembered. Spend 22% of your time talking about education.
and 78% of your time talking about the general debt financing that we're engaging in. Because it makes a big difference. The bonding that is in this bill will require outlays of approximately $43 million per year over the next 6 years, each and every year for 6 years, $43 million. That's at a favorable interest rate. Take an unfavorable interest rate and you easily get to $50 million a year, every year for the next 6 years to repay these debts. That is real money off the table that we can't spend on education each of the next 6 years. So the question has been put about being heroes for education. It's easy to say, let's do right now these dollars. But I ask you, which school child would say it is a good investment to get $50 million today and you have to spend $43 to $50 million a year for the next 6 years to get it? That's why this type of debt financing is completely irresponsible. That's why a yes vote on this bill is not a vote for our children. Yeah, you can provide a lifeboat for a few days and dump our school children into the water tomorrow if you want to use that analogy. But I propose we do something different. I propose we replace that $50 million with responsible funding. We've had many measures that we could consider. And we can put them back on this floor, and we can do so without adjourning and waiting for its fifth special session. So there's the choice. Let's create a responsible vehicle for school education. And let's not use irresponsible funding to finance this state. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Worth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
And I'm sure I will verge off the prohibited bit of subject matter. So be prepared to stop me. Colleagues, please indulge me. I'm going to completely ramble, like that's never happened before. But I'm going to change my original position that I took on Friday with regards to the wisdom of floor speeches and these vetoes. Originally, I felt that we should come here, do our business, and leave, and not give into the temptation of pontificating as we do. But now I feel that given the unique perspective I've gotten over this past weekend regarding this legislation, I think it's important that I at least register my vote for the record. During these past few days, we've had time to reconsider our vote that we took on this piece of legislation on Friday. And those who voted to sustain the veto of House Bill 4056 were to hear from Oregonians about the need for this bonding capacity that this bill offers. We were to hear from Oregonians, and we did. We were to be pressured into understanding the need for this for school funding next year. We were to get emails and phone calls and contacts from constituents and Oregonians across the state. And that was to apply pressure to us to change our votes, or at least reconsider it. Well, like I said, we heard from Oregonians. At least I did. The last count had 308 people express to me their support of my position to sustain the veto, and 9 citizens that were strongly, strongly urging me to change my vote. And what struck me about the response was not necessarily so much more in favor as opposed to those opposed, but you know, I got the feeling that isn't this what we're supposed to want from our constituents and from people in Oregon? My phone voicemails were being filled up every 45 minutes, and I loved this. If this is pressure, let's do this. We want people to be engaged. I want 400 phone calls every weekend on every issue. People were engaged in budget talk. People knew what they were talking about. And people who didn't know that they were talking about just simply called to say, I don't know what the heck you're voting on, but, you know, stick to your guns because you shouldn't be pressured one way or the other. Just be a leader. I mean, this is what we want. If we call public process pressure and arm twisting, there's something really wrong here. And this morning, as probably some of you know, I had my house pelted with eggs. Now, my family was a little distraught, but I couldn't help thinking, God, even the guys who threw the eggs at my house, they knew what was going on, enough to throw an egg. I mean, they knew that the budget process was going on to throw an egg. I mean, you have to be involved and engaged in this.
Representative, you need to confine your remarks to the, not the eggs, but the bill at hand, please.
Okay. I will say eggs. My point is, they were engaged. I chalked their argument up for a vote in support of my sustaining my vote, because I figured if that's all they've got, then they don't have a good argument against my original vote if they had to resort to egg throwing. But still, we were engaged. So I would urge us to continue down this path that we took on Friday. And this body is worthy of the leadership. We can do this. We don't have to refer a solution out. We can come back here in the fifth special session and stand up for Oregonians the way they want us to, and decide on our own, like they did 20 years ago, to take the hard vote and to solve this problem responsibly. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the previous question.
Representative Smith moves the previous question. All those in favor of closing debate will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The motion carried. Debate is closed. Representative Williams, do you wish to close?
Just as well. Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I gave you the best I had in a closing on this bill on Friday. So I will briefly confine my remarks to the outcome of this vote today. No one likes to borrow. I've never met a person who likes to borrow money. I never met a person or worked with a business who wanted to go into debt. And there is no question that this bonding is a form of debt financing. But all of us know from our practical experience in government, from our practical experience in business, that bonding and that borrowing and that debt financing are things you do when you are in particular situations. And one of them is in a situation where you need resources to sustain your current operations for a limited period of time while you work to a longer-term solution. And that's what House Bill 4056 is about. That's why this veto override motion was made. It is about that sustaining period of time. And don't be mistaken, it's not just about the $50 million. It's about the safety net that this bill created. That we voted as an institution to pass. It is about the safety net that this bill created that will be necessary when we get the September forecast and move into the next series of discussions about our substantial budget problem. Those are, to quote our new rule that we have been reminded about, the consequences of the measure. The consequences of this measure are to provide both immediate funding for schools for the current year and a safety net as we go into further economic decline. Those are the consequences of the measure. So your choice, colleagues, is a choice to choose between those consequences and providing that safety net or not. That is, in fact, the consequences of the measure. And all of us can return home to our districts, and we can say that as the consequences of this measure, if this veto override vote fails, the education world will not end today or tomorrow. I have it on good authority that that's been scheduled for sometime in mid-September when we're all back again. And we will be. I ask you to think strongly about the consequences of the measure and vote based on the consequences of the measure. That is my plea. That is my argument to you today. Not about anything else. Not about any other motivations. The consequences of the measure. And the consequences of this measure, if it passes, is to help schools remain sustainable and operable during the upcoming school year starting in 2 weeks. And the consequences of its failure is to cast schools on the open sea while we deal with and wait for a non-sustained situation to occur at the beginning of September, at the end of August, in middle September, without any kind of safety net. Those are the consequences. And each of us will bear our responsibility for them. I'm happy to bear mine in voting in favor of this override. I hope you all feel the same. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Call of the House.
Representative Williams asked for a call of the House. He's joined by Representative Rosenbaum, Representative Hass, Representative Witt, Representative Brown, Representative Zahner, Representative Patty Smith, Representative Cheryl Walker. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, and the sergeant-at-arms will attend, and the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman, Backlund, Barnhart, Bates, Beck, Beyer, Allen Brown, Ralph Brown, Butler, Carlson, Close Devlin, Dingfelder, Doyle, Gardner, Gerard, Hansen, Hass, Hayden, Hobson, Jensen, Johnson, Kafori, King, Canope, Krieger, Krupp, Krummel, Cruz, Lee, Leonard, Lowe, March, Merkley, Minnis, Monis Anderson, Morgan, Nelson, Nolan, Patridge, Ringo, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Shetterly, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Tootie Smith, Starr, Tomei, Berger, Cheryl Walker, Vicky Walker, Westland, Williams, Wilson, Winters, Worth, Witt, Zahner, and Mr. Speaker, not answering, Krupp, excuse, not subject to the call, Dingfelder.
All members are present. Those of the opinion that House Bill 4056 should be repassed, notwithstanding the governor's veto, will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Gardner votes no. Representative Close, how do you vote? Representative Close votes aye. The motion to repass House Bill 4056, notwithstanding the governor's veto, having not received the required two-thirds majority, is declared failed. The veto is sustained. Last item of business we have is our sine die. I would take a recess motion at this time. We have an issue to work out regarding resolutions and time in a little situation with the Senate, and we will confer for a few moments with professional staff. 45 minutes. Representative Jensen, 12 o'clock, Tuesday, August 20th.
Mr. Speaker, I move we'll be in recess until 12th, Tuesday, August 20th, noon.
Before I take the motion, Representative Kefouri.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Democrats will caucus immediately following floor session in the caucus room.
Okay, House Democrats will caucus immediately. Representative Jensen moves that we stand in recess until 12 noon, Tuesday, August 20th. Without objection, so ordered.